the 15th chapter of the book of Luke. Being Father's Day, you know, it gives pause, and I think, you know, I want my children to love me. I think that's reasonable, don't you? I want my children to love me, and I want my children to be good people. I want them to be good citizens. I want people to say, these are good people. And I want them to love God. I want them to find God's purpose in their lives, to discover why God put them here. Why are they alive? God had a reason. And I want them to discover that and to find joy and fulfillment in that. And I want them to know I love them. I think that's probably the short list for every father that knows God. It ought to be very similar. But in Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells us about a man that had two sons. Two sons. He says a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided to them his living. Now understand, in that culture, particularly, y'all stop reading and listen to what I'm saying. Y'all are reading, y'all could have read this at home. Gotcha. So the oldest son stands to inherit the whole estate. When dad dies, it goes to the oldest son. Now the younger son would receive a portion. He would have some assignment in that inheritance. But the older son knows what his future is going to be. You ever thought about that in this story? The oldest son's going to inherit. He's living there now. He's working there now. When his dad dies, he's going to continue to live there, continue to work there. No question. He knows his life. He's got it figured out. And then we got the younger son, and he says, when dad dies, what am I going to do? I'm going to work for my brother? I'm going to live here and let my brother tell me what to do? What am I going to do? But what if I get away from here? I got to get out of here. I got to go somewhere else because there's something out there for me. How many of us, don't raise your hand, but how many of us ever thought that? Right, there's something better out there. And I just need to go search the world and figure it out. The older son already got it figured out. I'm going to be here. I'm going to stay here. Everything's figured out. Verse 12, or verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey into a far country. Now stop there. He took his money and he went away. Nobody knows him over there, right? What happens? You know, and this is what happened, and I can see the pivot in our country when children started leaving home to go away to college. Many of them went away to go in the military, but when they went off to go live in another place to go to school, things changed in this country, didn't they? And I know people who will leave and go to a college, and the number one reason they want to go to that college is because it's away from my house and my family. And if I get out from under my parents, I can do what I want when I want. And so that's what they do. They try to get away from family. They try to get out of supervision. They try to get away from accountability. And that's exactly what this younger son did. He wanted to get as far away from accountability as he could. Let me tell you what a church is about. Our number one purpose is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Number one. Number two, we're to baptize them. We're to show them that they've died to the life that they have, and they're to be resurrected to walk in the newness of life. And then we're to disciple them. We're to teach them the Word of God. Teach them how to live for God. That's what a church does. Now, those are the top three. But part of that third one is this: accountability. Which means that if you join this church, you make your business everybody else's business. Now, some of you didn't know that, and you're beginning to question your decision. So that means that you're a reflection on this church because you're a member of this church. as a member of this church, we're supposed to do the work of God through this church, but we're also accountable to this church. And that means that if I have a question about my behavior, I could go to one of my brothers or sisters in the church and say, hey, do you think what I'm doing is right? Do you think what I'm doing is wrong? And on the flip side of that, they can come to me and they can say, Brother Derek, what you're doing is wrong. We don't agree with what you're doing. They can come to me. We said exhort one another daily. Wasn't that in our Sunday school? To go to one another and say, hey, look, I'm concerned. What you're doing is it's going to lead down the wrong path. That's called accountability. The younger son said, I don't want any of that. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go to a faraway country. And I'm going to start over. I don't know what he had in mind. Open an ice cream shop. Popcorn stand. I don't know what a restaurant, buying some land and having some cattle. I don't know what he had in mind. He had all this money in his pocket. His father had given him his portion of the inheritance as it would be split. And he had a wad of cash. But we find that when he got there, he did not invest it. He didn't buy a company, didn't buy a plow, didn't buy a horse, didn't buy a cow. He just didn't do anything wise with his money. What did he do? He wasted it on riotous living. He wasted his substance with riotous living at the end of verse 13. Blew it all. And his timing couldn't have been worse. Because, let's face it, we've probably all had to reinvent ourselves, recover from failure. I had a good friend, was one of my best friends in high school. He reached out to me last night. He said, I'm about to leave my job and leave my home, and I'm probably going to be homeless before it's all over. He said, I worked my whole life to get to this point, but I'm just in such a mess, I've got to walk away from it and have nothing. Well, in this economy, you could probably go 2 counties, 3 counties over, and find a job, right? They're hiring. Everybody's hired. Everybody needs a job. If you can pick up a hammer, right, you can probably work. If you can use a shovel, you could probably work. So there's jobs. So he could right now probably very easily rebuild his life. Not the case here. This guy right here, the Bible says he wasted everything, and verse 14, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He couldn't just go out and get a job and recover. He couldn't just go out and work somewhere and make money, because he ran out of money and everybody was out of money. There was a famine. It was a crash. And now he's in the middle of that. Can we time our bad decisions? We say, I'm going to make some bad decisions, but I'm going to make it now and it'll be okay. Is that what we do? Well, I tell you, every time we make a bad decision, we think it'll be okay. But there are always consequences. The money ran out. The fun ran out. His choices brought him to a place of shame and a season of desperation. Verse 15, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to his fields to feed swine. Now, the reason that's put in there is because of the group that here in this hate pigs. Pigs are nasty, filthy, dirty animals. And the last thing they ever wanted to do is get around a pig. And so Jesus gives them the worst scenario that they could imagine. He's feeding swine, which means he's going to get the mud on his shoes. He's going to smell what pigs smell like. He's going to be right in the midst of it. But not, oh, he's not done yet. He said the only job he could get is feeding pigs, and that didn't make him enough to eat, so verse 16, he would fain have filled his belly with husks that swine did eat. No man gave unto him. He didn't even make enough money to eat. Feeding pigs. What a desperate situation. I know that when he asked his father for his portion, he wasn't thinking that far ahead. Guys, we've got to think further than right now. We've got to think further than just this Friday night. We've got to get our hearts and minds together on more than just, I can afford it right now, because you may not be able to afford it down the road. I'm encouraged to see that schools are now, our states are forcing schools to have economy classes before graduation. If you'll take a mortgage and you say, you know, they have brainwashed us, haven't they? They say, well, it's only 5%. And you say, wow, 5%. And you say, well, I can afford that monthly payment. Have you ever taken that monthly payment and calculated it out? And you buy this house and the price tag, when you buy it, you negotiate. Oh, I'm going to negotiate. You negotiate now, you know, $5,000, $10,000. You think, boy, you really did something. But calculate it out. And over the course of a 30-year loan, that house cost you three times what you thought you paid for it. And that's just the mortgage. That doesn't include the pipe repairs and the air conditioning and the lawn maintenance. I'm glad that we finally decided to teach kids to look at the numbers. We got to think down the road, not just right now. Oh, I can afford it. Maybe that's not the key. If you can afford the payment, if you can afford to buy it outright, maybe that's a good deal. But we got to look further than right now. He got all the money in his pocket, and he says, he could buy anything. He could take his friends out. He's at the club, and he said, this round's on me. The people are gathered around. They're crowded around him. Why? Because he's buying them stuff. He's giving them stuff. And if that's what it takes for you to have friends, you have the wrong friends, the wrong kind of friends. And the money ran out, the phone ran out, and he's in the pig farm eating the pig food. Desperate. Now that's the picture, but I don't want us to get caught up in his demise. I want us to think about how we have gotten there ourselves. Like my friend that said, by the way, he could trace it back to a decision he made years ago. He said, I've regretted it ever since. That was the turning point. That was the pivot point. And so wherever we are, if we find ourselves in this desperate situation, as the man in the scripture does, let's go to the next verse. It says, when he came to himself, when he stopped feeling sorry for himself and he started looking for solutions, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He said, I'm in a worse situation than anybody I know. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father. Isn't that sweet? When it came down to it, his only hope was his father. Now, he'd have to admit he was wrong, right? That's hard. That's the hard part. There are people who will not be your friend again because they're not willing to say, hey, look, I was wrong and I'm sorry. If they would just say that, you wouldn't care. You probably don't care anyway. But they won't talk to you anymore because they know what they did was wrong and they're not willing to come and say, I'm sorry. And then the son had to get to that point. You know, there are people who won't talk to their parents anymore just because they're not willing to say, I'm sorry. Not willing to say, I was wrong. When if they would, it would change everything. Guys, if we want to know the Father, we've just got to be willing to say, Father, I was wrong. I did wrong. Don't blame God. Blame me. Father, I was wrong. I will go to my Father, and I will say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He said, you know, I could go get a job. Everybody's broke, but I bet my daddy's not broke. Everybody's busted, but my Father, you see, in his mind, his father had everything figured out. Why is it he couldn't figure that out when he still lived there? The truth is, sometimes we've got to go through some pain and figure out how smart our parents are, don't we? We, growing up, we said, I'll never do that when I'm a dad. How many of you have come back on that phrase? When I'm a parent, I'll never treat my kids this way. Yeah, okay. His only hope was his father. You see, all he had in mind was to survive. Just to survive. He goes back to his father. It says in verse number 20, and he arose and he came to his father. I love this story. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Know this, God can see us where we are. Even when we've gone to a place where we think we can escape accountability, God can see us. His father saw him when he was a great way off. And he had compassion. And he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. I love my sons and my daughters. Don't you? I love our children. And they do wrong. They get away from us and they leave the nest because they want that independence and they make mistakes. And we're just sitting on the front porch waiting for them to come home. I mean, are we disappointed? Sure, we can get disappointed. Might even get mad at them. But we love them. The father's there and he sees his son. He runs out and he reaches around him and he says, oh, what's that smell? No, he probably didn't say that. But I bet he wondered it. Whoa, you smell like the pigs. Oh, goodness. Let's get this boy a bath. Get him showered down. Take these rags off of him. His shoes. Let's get some medicine on his legs and his feet where he's been in the pig mud. Get his fingernails cleaned, his hair cut, and his beard shaved. And let's get him cleaned up. Oh, what a mess he must have been. Because you know what? That's what sin does. That's what the world does. It makes a mess of us. And you know his father didn't have to say, what you been doing, son? Because he could see it on the outside. Guys, our sin might be an inner sin. It might be a heart sin. But it works its way to the outside, and it becomes obvious to everyone around us what we've been doing. Sinning. He fell on his neck, and he kissed him. Verse 21, the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven, and in thy sight I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. And shoes on his feet. How many of you remember what that ring means? You see, that ring probably had a symbol on it. And that ring, if he would go down into the town, he could walk into any shop in that town and he could take that ring and he could stamp it. And that was like a credit card. Put it on my account. You see, Daddy just said, son, everything I have is yours. When we realize that when the Father forgave us and accepted us as His children, that He said to us, I've got everything in the world and I will give you everything you need. I think of King David. Y'all remember King David when the prophet came to him and he caught him in that sin with Bathsheba? And what God said, had God not given you everything you wanted, everything you asked for, and if that had not been enough, I would have given more. Guys, God is never shorthanding us. He's never holding back from us. He gives us what we need. He provides for us and puts shoes on his feet. Bring here, verse 23, bring here the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. You see, God's just waiting for us to come home. The Father's just waiting for us to come home. But what about this sin? He's just waiting for us to come home. He didn't call security. He didn't do a background check. He didn't say, son, before you can come in the house, I need to know where you've been, who you've been running around with. He just said, that's my son, and I love him. God wants us to come to him. So if you're running away, if you've strayed from God, now's the time from your heart to God's heart to say, God, forgive my sins. Save my soul. I put my trust in you. God, I'm coming home to you. Take my hand and lead me on. Well, you know, God will save anybody and everybody. We were talking about the older son. The older son went to work every day. The older son could talk to the father anytime he wanted to. He was in close fellowship with the father. He was in close service to the father, right? The older son never left. Now, some of us got saved at an early age, and we've been walking with God that whole time. Not perfectly, but reading his word, going to church, sharing the gospel, living the faith. We've been consistent. And we never had to wonder where God was because we've been with God the whole time. But there are some who are either late bloomers or late learners. Some have backslidden and some never knew about the Father early in age. And they've been running with the pigs. And now, when they come home, we should not be jealous or envious and get mad because, well, now why are we having a party for this sinner? I'll tell you why. Because he was dead and now he's alive again. That's why. The father says, the older son says, oh, I can't believe he did this. Look, he's been running around with wild women and spending his money doing bad things, and now you're going to celebrate him? He said, we're not celebrating his sin. We're celebrating that he came home. We need to keep that in mind. You see, the younger son just wanted to survive, but now he's home where he can thrive again. That's God's will for our lives, is that we'll come home where we can have his best in our lives. As we stand, we give an opportunity to come to the altar. Maybe this morning that's you we're talking about. And you have run from God. Oh, maybe it's different than all these descriptions in this story. But you know you're not where you should be with God. And there's a block because you say, but I don't want to admit. Just say, God, I'm coming home. I need you. Forgive my sins and save my soul. God, we love you. Pray that you'll use this time of invitation to reach our hearts, to correct our ways, to make us useful to your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open if you want to come. Kneel and pray. You want me to pray with you? I'll be glad to. We don't have the story that tells what happened in 6 months. I don't know if that younger son wandered away again, came back again, if this became a pattern in his life of repentance and rebellion and repentance and rebellion. But what I do know is that when he showed up at that gate, his father was full to see him. His heart was overflowing because he loves his son. God loves you that same way. He's ready for you to come home. All right. Appreciate your attendance, your attention this morning. Anything before we're dismissed? I would ask for some assistance setting things up here for the Bible school tonight. Was there something else we needed help with? We need a couple of tables or something? Okay. So if you're able to help bring some tables over from the fellowship hall or set up some walls in here, that'd be great. We appreciate your help. What else? All right. So tonight, understand, we're not having a regular 6 o'clock service. We're having a vacation Bible school kickoff, and so it'll be games and cookout and all that kind of stuff. All right? So if you come in here and sit down, there won't be anybody in here. All right? Fun stuff. Don't think preaching's fun? I'm teasing you. Amen. All right. Anything else? So every night this week. So the same thing on Wednesday. We will not have regular Wednesday night service. We'll be having Bible school every night this week, 6:30 to 8:30. And if you want to be part of it, even if you're not signed up for it, you can come help. I'm sure there'll be something we can put you to work doing, okay? And bring some kids. Invite some kids. All right? Get some. Tell them we're having Bible school. All right? Okay. Let's go to the Lord in dismissal prayer.